Yep, come on down.
Morning. The scriptures today is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we'll be reading from verse 7 through verse 12. So Revelation 12, starting in verse 7. Revelation 12, 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Sends a reading.
All right, kids, you're going to stay there for now. I'm going to call you up in a minute. I've got a guy that's going to be talking on the screen here. All right? And I want you to listen to him. All right? He was a policeman, and he's going to give you his testimony. So I want you kids to watch it if you're able to see. If you can't see from there, you can come up, but it takes about 12 minutes. So here we go, I hope. Lights and camera and all that good stuff.
Is that working? Thank you for having me.
Volume.
Chad.
A lot more.
Chad has invited me to come and talk about my testimony on how God found me and also how the Lord has changed my attitude towards my policing.
Just recently.
And first off, I'm Michael Mulholski. I've been an officer for 15 years. I used to work in District Number 2. I did about 12 years here at Number 2. Is it all good? 12 years. And I'm currently assigned to downtown. I work out of the warrant squad. So right now I'm just looking for people who are wanted on warrants. We're also assigned right now temporary to the robbery task force. And if you heard, all the carjackings and things like that, so we're involved in working on those types of cases that you see. About 3 years ago, on a Labor Day weekend 2013, I was home. My family was gone on a weekend trip. I was home alone. It was about the middle of the afternoon, and I was going to work some overtime for a brewery game. And worked the parking lot. I had a bicycle and everything. I was kind of running late, but I got a phone call. I got a phone call from an old friend that I haven't talked to in over 20 years. And they're just looking for a mutual phone number. And through the grapevine, I had heard that she had a family member that passed away, a nephew, died at a young age between 17 and 19 years of age. And I said, "Boy, that must have been very devastating for you, your sister, your mom." I knew them all. I didn't know who died, but and she said it was very devastating. A sibling found him dead. He was climbing on some rocks. Found him the next day. He was dead. And horrible story. And began to discuss the death of what had happened. And then she had told me that her sister believed, his name was Aaron, was reincarnated as a bird. By the time I wasn't saved, I had my thoughts on God, but I thought, boy, if this is getting, her name was Sherry, if this is getting Sherry through her tough time, I thought, great, so be it. You know, what's the big deal? Why is that so bad? I thought, you know, it's a tough time. If she believes that her son came back as a bird, okay, it's getting her through the time. Well, her voice changed. Not angry, not sad, it just changed. I heard this change in her voice. And she said, "Mike, that's not the worst part of it." And I thought, what is she going to say that's worse than a sibling finding someone dead the way that that happened? And she says to me, "Did my sister tell my nephew about God? Did my sister tell my nephew about God?" Bam. My heart was pierced. My head just started spinning after those words. I had to run. I was running late. We talked a little bit more briefly. She said, Mike, I talked to my cousin who was a believer and just wanted to know if he went to heaven or not. And the person she was talking to, it sounded like this kind of pandered her. Yes, he's in heaven. Don't worry about it. But her voice stuck with me. Is he in heaven? Did my sister tell him about God? I had to get ready for work. I had to shower and everything. And throughout that day, I didn't even remember going to work. I had to work the parking lot, riding the bicycle. I must have been about 6 hours. I do the overtime because I want the money. I was just wanted to get out of that baseball game and just go home. My heart was sinking. My head was just spinning. All the thoughts of people who had talked to me about God throughout my entire life just started just going through my head. As a child, people that I heard talk about God, whether it was good or bad, my thoughts on God were just coming. Bits and pieces throughout work relations, going to homes, people on the street, hearing, just walking past a Bucks game or something and someone passing out a Bible tract. All these thoughts just kept going through my head. Well, then thoughts came through my head. Thoughts of all the time I cursed God, all the times I mocked God, all the times I shook my fist at God, all the times I didn't believe in God, all the miracles that happened in my life that I just shook past of, it just happened. It just happened. My heart was just spinning. That next morning, I got up and still my head is just spinning. What was said? Did I tell my nephew about God? Well, that next day, I went and got a cup of coffee. I went to a spot through Whitnall Park where I take our dog running. And that day, I had with me, I had a Bible tract. I had a Bible tract that I did not throw away. It was given to me by my old partner, Tim Zielinski. Tim Zielinski is a believer. He put his trust and faith in the Lord, and he always tried talking to me at work about God. Well, one day we got sent to trouble with a subject off of not too far from here, 16th and Beecher. It was a gentleman, a young man, about 20 years of age, who they were kicking off the bus. They were kicking him off the bus because he was reading the Bible on the bus. So we got there. Security was there. The gentleman was very, very nice. And he just refused to get back on the bus. Says, no problem, guys. Everything's okay. We're going to make him go back on the bus. Tell the bus driver, he's going back on. You can't do this. He said, no problem. I live a few blocks away, but he gave me that Bible track. I just had it here with me. But I kept that Bible track. Something inside of me said, don't throw it away. I kept it in my visor. I went to Whitnall Park, and I thought to myself, did I tell my wife, Susan, and my son, John, about God? And I didn't. I'm 47 and a half years old at that time. And I didn't tell them about God. I didn't tell Susan, my wife, and my son. And it was at that moment that I knew I was going to bow down to the Lord and that I was going to have to answer. Why didn't you tell your wife? Why didn't you tell your son about me? He showed me everything, but I blew it off. I didn't listen. And that pierced my heart, and that is when the Lord opened my eyes and my ears to my sins, of who I was, to just my wicked ways. He opened my heart that morning. I realized then, after reading that Bible tract, I put my faith and my trust in the Lord. Afterwards, I had a friend, my friend Tim, also told me about a church that he went to, Grace Community Bible Church up on 84th and Beloit. I left that day. I went to work the next day. Tim wasn't there. He was there on a Tuesday. I saw Tim. I said, Tim, you will see me in church next Sunday. I had never stopped going back. Forty-seven and a half years old I was, and that's what it took for God to pierce my heart. That phone call wasn't no fluke. 20 years, I did not talk to this person. 20 years, and just asking for a phone number and just asking, how is your family? What happened? And when I heard that voice, it pierced me. And that is when God opened my eyes and my ears. And that is when God had saved me. For 12 and a half years, I was a police officer, a non-believer. I felt they did a good job. I felt they went out there. I came to work. I don't call in sick. I'm out there. I felt inside I was doing the right things. But also, I had a lot of anger, and I had a lot of hate. I had a lot of hate with drug dealers. I had a lot of hate for the gang members here on the South Side. I had a lot of hate for the prostitutes out here, and I had a lot of hate for the drug users out here. I hated seeing what they were doing out here. Inside, I hated them. Hate's not a strong enough word. It's how I felt for some of these people, especially the gang members. I used to wish, some of the gang members I used to deal with, I dealt with them all the time, that I wish I'd, when you'd hear that shooting called over off of 8th and Lapham, yes, it's going to be one of those guys. And I'm going to roll up on them, and it's going to be their last breath. And I'm going to walk up on them, and I'm going to grab them by the throat, and I'm going to say, listen, so-and-so, you're going to hell. Well, at that time, what I didn't know, that person, if I would have done that, would have grabbed me by my collar and said, you're coming with me, Mike, because that's where I was going. I used to think I was better than a drug dealer. I used to think I was better than a prostitute. I used to think I was better than everybody. I'm not. I am not better than a drug dealer. I am not better than a prostitute. I am the same. I am just a sinner. I am better than nobody in here. I am the worst sinner there is. So with that, the Lord has changed my heart. He has softened my heart. He has opened my eyes to my sins. And he has taken that hate and that anger away. I don't have that anger anymore. I don't have that hate. That's not because of something I read in a self-help book. That's not something that I just said, I'm going to change my ways today, January 1st, 2016. I'm not going to hate anybody no more. No, it is God. Because I realized these people are no different than I am. I am one step away from being role reversed. Role reversed with them. I could be me locked up. God has worked me in many ways. Because he's opened my eyes and my ears to, like Chad said, what we're dealing with are crimes of sin. That's how I take these assignments. I don't walk in anymore. You are a scumbag. You are a piece of garbage. No, what's going on here is sin. The domestic violence, the hitting, the physical, the stealing, the robbing, the shooting. These are all sins. And that is what changed my attitude about policing. That's why the hate is gone. I'm more confident when I do. I can walk into the home, not be frustrated. I can get frustrated, but not like before. Okay, this is a sinful problem. I can walk in now and say, God is not here. Okay, now I can work with that. I understand. You don't have the Lord. Let's work with that right now. Instead of verbally abusing people now, if I have a conversation with someone that I know is going to be going down to jail, I will try to give them a Bible track as they're into the cell. I try to talk to him, open up. Not everybody I talk to. There's got to be a communication there. But every person that I've given a Bible track to, when they've gone to the cell, no one has cursed me. No one said, take this card and shove it. Nothing like that. Some people have cried. Some people have broke down. Some people have said, no one has ever spoken the word of God to me before in their life. And some have said, I don't believe, but I'll take the card. Thank you. No one has ever cursed me out doing that. I don't know what's happened, but when I leave work now, instead of cursing, instead of hating every person that I'm involved in arresting, I pray for them. I pray that while they're sitting in that jail cell, that they seek the Lord. What better place in that filthy, stinking jail cell to seek the Lord? That's what I pray for. I pray they read that card that I give them, and I also pray for their families, that they seek the Lord. Because that person inside there, he can be locked up maybe for 10 years, 20 years, temporary. This is just man's court. This is just man's court. Final judgment is with the Lord. And that's what matters. As we see going on right now, we see a lot of anti-Semitism with the police, officers getting shot, but also crime throughout, if you watch the news, is really getting out of hand. And what God has done is he's opened my eyes that this is coming. And in Matthew 24, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, he has sat at the Mount Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will be betrayed one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because lawlessness, is what we're seeing, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then will come." We see the lawlessness. It's coming. It's not getting any better. But we need to spread God's word. But there is hope. And in John 3:16, 3:17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to the world through him might be saved." That's the answer right there, to be saved. I just want to end, I'm not sure whoever's faith, what it is, hopefully we can plant some seeds, but if you're not saved by the Lord, salvation is the most important thing in the world, both now and hereafter. If you are not saved, nothing really matters. Thank you.
Now I'd like the kids to come down. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Did you see that man on the screen? Could you tell me what he was? He was a policeman. And did you get what he was telling us? Yes, they help people. You're right. And he was telling us about a time, for a long time, he wasn't a Christian and he didn't know Jesus. And then he started talking about how Jesus changed his life and how it's changed him. Now, I'm going to tell you something very sad about that man. That man, who was a policeman, got shot. And he died. Do you know where he's at?
No, we don't know.
Yes, we do. Where is he at? He's with Jesus. Yes. Now, here's what I want you to learn this morning. We're going to learn that something about what a testimony is. We're going to learn about a testimony. Remember, I try and teach you a word once in a while? I want you to say the word testimony. Good. Can you say it again one more time? Testimony. Can you say testimony? Well done. I know. Hat, Bible. Wow. Oh, hot, yes. Ah, thank you for my... Today, I'm going to ask you a question. What's your testimony? Huh? Well, but my testimony is a long time ago. My mommy and daddy had me, and I was a little boy, just like you're little. And you know what mommy and daddy did for me? They took me, and they had me be baptized, and then they taught me the word of God, and they took me to church. And you know what happened? God saved me. God saved me. God saved you too, didn't he? Can I hold you? Can I hold you? That's the way they feel too. Woo-hoo. You don't know if you like that yet or not, huh? Yes, I'm good at squirmers. All right. Oh, you want to go there? You can go. Anyway, some you win, some you lose. Anyway, I want you to remember, a testimony is the story of what God is doing in your life, okay? And that's not going to go anywhere today, I can tell, but that's all right. It's okay. One day, I hope you can say this. When I was little, I sat in church and our pastor would talk to us and he would tell us about how much Jesus loves us. And when you get a little older, you can give your testimony, your story to somebody else. Now, what's important in our verse today is God's going to tell us how important our story is. And I want you to see if you can listen to that in the sermon, okay? What's that word again? One more time, nice and loud. Testimony. Excellent. Got something for you. There's a couple different things in there. Each of you can pick one. No, let me put it on the chair. There we go. There you go. Just pick one thing out that you want. Or two, yeah, I know. One for you, one to give away. There you go. Sometimes they fly, sometimes they crash. Huh? Interesting that a man like that, who many of you know how it ended in terms of his being shot, has such a powerful testimony. And an ability to give God the glory, an ability to recognize the hardness of his own heart, an ability to recognize how much God has changed his life, an ability to identify that you and I now, week and a half, 2 weeks after his death, can actually take the time in a church service to hear his testimony about how God got a hold of his life as a 47-year-old man or whatever he happened to be and has begun this work in his life so much so that he was willing to give that testimony. Now, the text that I picked today has got a lot of different things, and we've referred to it several times, but I'm focusing just on 10:11 mostly because I want us to learn something. Now you can put that up on the screen, honey. I want you to, this is a paraphrase of this particular verse in chapter 12 there. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. And I heard a pastor share this, and I liked it, and I thought, this becomes an important thing for you to do. Now, you can, and we should, have an ability to share our testimony similar to what he did. He certainly, although he addressed the fact that police officers were being shot, and that would have been true, I think this is 5 or more years old, that reality was he certainly didn't know at that time that his life, his family, his situation would be carried all across the nation, and this then, his testimony, would have a totally different weight to it because you and I get to see and get to hear of the sacrifice, the heart change in this man, an ability to love what, if you've never had to deal with some of those situations, you've only had to deal with some of the other kind of things. You've all met or experienced somebody who drives you crazy or is very difficult. This is what many officers handle 24/7 or at least on each segment of their shift. Some version of difficulty, some version of hardened heart, some version of abuse, whether it's to wife or husband, children, family, some version of lies and deceptions and all the rest. And when he gives testimony and says, and things aren't getting better, he's like many people on the front line telling you what he's observing. But what he is telling you also is that there is a victory even in that setting. And that's the part I want you to become aware of, because this becomes so important. And I looked at what this pastor wrote and I thought, this is an interesting thing, because what it does is it personalizes the Word of God and puts into your testimony what you have the power, because you're saved by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit has been given to you. These things are yours. And by confessing them, testifying to them, you enter into what the very passage is pointing out in Revelation, okay? It goes, they overcame him. Well, the him there is Satan. It's that force, those things around them that are trying to destroy you and me. They overcame him, and it goes on as it points out, by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only source of power. You understand? The source of power for overcoming your situations, your difficulties, your fears and anguishes and struggles, the only source of power is the shed blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the work he has accomplished for you at the cross. That's your source of power. But the testimony part is the part where we many times don't invite, claim, or hang on to the very thing that God has promised us. And so the challenge of what that verse or that statement by that pastor was, he said, I want you to think about this. And he says, we overcome Satan, very simple part there, when we testify personally to what the Word of God says, the blood of Jesus Christ does for that, for us. Well, let's read it together so I don't mumble my way through it again. We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word of God says the blood of Jesus does for us. You can hear my words from my sermon popping through there. There's a personal step in this. There's a testimony that he gave. You want to know what made that testimony unique? There I was, Labor Day weekend, this friend who I haven't talked to in 20 years talked to me, and it pierced my heart. The word took effect in his life. You heard it. It was in the personal testimony that all the other things related to it started to make sense. And you start to understand the power of what we're asking, or God is pointing out. He said, what do you do? What did Daniel say? You can do whatever you want. The three men in the fiery furnace, you can do whatever you want. Excuse me. You can throw us in the furnace. We know that whether we live or die, we know who God is. We know the victory. We know the power of Jesus, or power of God in our lives. They were not afraid even to face death. You understand? There is this side when the disciples start to give testimony to the Pharisees and they go, you have to understand. You can do to us whatever you want, but we have to speak. We have to witness. We have to do this because, and their testimony is, this is what God has called us to do. There is this personal side to what you actually are putting your faith in. I won't be able to quote it exactly, but I think it was John or somebody who did the Bible study the other day wrote up there, do you believe what you say you believe, or something close to that? Do you really believe what you say you believe? And the question, of course, was, do you confess it? Do you speak it out? Do you live it out in an attitude of confidence and trust? Am I confident that God, who has promised these things to me, will really step into it? What you heard in his testimony is a man changed because his testimony began to claim the very things the Word of God were speaking to him, the very thing that when he didn't have his book, and I was glad he didn't read his little thing, but the Word was speaking to him. And he said, I was pierced, I was cut, he understood what God was doing to him. And in that moment, not only did you hear a testimony of how his life changed, he began to do his job differently. He began to have that change of heart that's always promised when we live out what God has called us to be and do. When that change is real and it's worked in our lives, we begin to hear a different testimony coming out of our mouths, out of our actions, and out of our words. And then we also become very much aware that there is this part of his testimony that he could not be quieted. If I look at a man as the scum and dirt and filth of the earth, which I can't blame an officer for doing that. And I can't say I don't understand those emotions and feelings. I bet you understand them to some degree too. But the issue when you finally come down to it, the thing you begin to understand, is he said, I began to witness. I began to share. I began, and what he, can you imagine a criminal looking, no one's ever talked to me about Jesus before. You understand? This man overcame what Satan had held him in for 42, 46 years, whatever it was. What Satan had held him in, and he overcame it because the power of God broke into his world. And here's the part I want you to hear. Because of a phone call from someone I haven't talked to in 20 years. Do you understand the power of a phone call to change the direction of one man's life, a whole family that's impacted by him, his position as a police officer, the situations that he dealt with criminals, and now 100 or 1,000 or 100,000 people that have heard his testimony? That came because someone made the phone call and asked the question that you could sense the Spirit of God moving on him to ask. Not even in a mean way or an arrogant way or a judgmental way. A concern. Did they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? Do they know? Did they tell him about God? You understand, God is committed to you to work in ways that you and I can't always comprehend. I don't even think the person who made the phone call might be fully aware of this, but praise God if they have been told it. If not, the testimony here, they must certainly be looking it up and seeing what's on YouTube or anything else like that. But you begin to understand. What do you begin discovering? The very thing the Scripture points out. There is this overcoming reality that you have in Jesus Christ. It says this, so that I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Confess it. In you, Lord Jesus, I am an overcomer, not because of anything I've got, but because you've already beaten the situation I'm in. You already have power over the situation I'm in. You're already aware of the lessons you want me to learn. You're already aware that this is a way for me to grow, become stronger, to accomplish more than I can understand. I am an overcomer in and through Jesus Christ. Confess. Another one comes out of Romans. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Haven't you been under it when Satan attacks you? You're useless, you're no good, you'll never make it. You're a failure, no one will ever love you. She'll never forgive you, it'll never work out. 100 things that he may spit up at you in the middle of your life and circumstance. You're too old to be of any use to anybody or whatever else it is. What does it say here? He points out, he says, what's your claim? I am justified not because of who Bruce Harmon is. I'm justified by God who has declared me not guilty because of what the blood of Jesus Christ. Leave me alone, Satan. You have no right to be here in my life. And I rebuke you because it is God who justifies me. How many times are we missing the promises of God because we haven't taken the time to look at them, to meditate on them, to chew on them until we start to understand it is God who justifies me. It is God who justifies me. But I did a terrible, wretched thing. It is God who justifies me. I am no good. I'm a failure as a man, a person, a woman, a child, whatever it is. It is God who justifies me. And finally, you begin preaching the truth to yourself and you begin understanding the confessing with your mouth has weight to it. It has power to it. It allows you to break off some of the things that Satan and circumstances and garbage is attached to you. Things that people spit up in your ears and drag you down, and things that you just bring them up out of yourself. And you begin to understand the power of this very point that he's trying to put this under this whole thing. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You know what's neat about the text? Is Satan is supposedly angry at the earth, which is the police officer now saw. He goes, I get it. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the power. They don't know that Satan has been crushed. They don't know any better. But I can look at him with new eyes now. And I can begin walking around knowing, and Satan has been crushed, not by me, but by the power of God. But in God, I am victorious. You have to find out those truths, and they're all over. I listened to a preacher talk the other day, and he said, I decided I was just going to read the red letters. He said it only took him about 2 hours, fast read or whatever. I only read the red letters. He said, because a lot of people just, Jesus wouldn't say that, or Jesus wouldn't do it. He said, by the time I got done reading the red letters, he said, whoa. Jesus takes this stuff really seriously. This is not a game to him. This matters. And he was confessing and recognizing how easy it is to be sidetracked from the word and not remember those things that Jesus has promised, Jesus holds us accountable to, the demands, the blessings, the benefits, all the things that he wants to bring. And so he said, I got it from my red letters. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm telling you that you overcome when you testify personally, when you own what's the verse you need to hear. What's the promise in Scripture that God wants to quicken and bring to your mind, bring it up in your mouth so that you start to confess it? You wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am not going to be defeated by the day. I am an overcomer in you, Jesus. And you are more than capable of carrying me through anything that I need to go through today. And the victory is already begun to be stated when you proclaim it with conviction and faith in your heart. Why? Because it rebukes the forces of Satan around you. It stands against. It becomes a testimony you live under. It's a word of God that you live under in your life. I am this man, this woman, this child. I have this gift, this power, this anointing, this grace from God, and I do not have to be under it. I do not have to be beaten down by it. I am going to trust in the Lord Jesus. What did he say? I trusted in God. My life changed. I can't look at people the same way. I now see people that are sinners who need salvation. I now talk to criminals in a different light. He was testifying against his old self with his new self. He was giving testimony to you. I don't want to go back to the old self because the old self is defeated. The old self is angry. The old self has got no power. But the new self in Jesus Christ, he now understands and he's giving testimony to it. And you begin to understand, it isn't just because I give testimony that it turns out. It's because the word of God, trusted by me, is able to accomplish what he promises me. And so you step into that. My encouragement is as simple as this testimony. Overcome Satan. Overcome your own flesh. Overcome the world and testify what the Word of God says about you. So that's been accomplished for you through the blood of Jesus. Don't think you're going to change. If this man would have gotten and sat there and spent his whole time, Lord, you got to do this, you got to do that, he'd have missed. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. I do not have to look at people the same way. I don't have to be afraid of the same things I've been afraid of. I am not under it. I am an overcomer because the Word of God has clearly said what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished for me. And so be encouraged. Confess that. Join us and let's allow these words to speak to our hearts too. Lord Jesus, we pray for Michael's family, Lord, and all those who have been impacted by his testimony. We thank you for our officers, our soldiers, for others, Lord, who stand as the thin blue line, as stand against the enemy, stand against the insanity of our culture and our world. Lord, we heard a testimony, and it's affected us, hopefully some. For the family, for his children, for his wife, there's significant change that's taken place in their life with the loss of a father. But I pray more than anything else, Lord Jesus, that his testimony, empowered by your Holy Spirit, will speak to his wife, his son, and give him victory, Lord. I pray for those that hear this testimony. I pray for ourselves, Lord, that there would be an awareness of the power of proclaiming your word, your truth over our lives. Trusting not in ourselves, but in the blood that was shed and the victory that was won in you, Lord Jesus. You are a promise keeper, Lord. Make us promise believers and make that a confession of our lips. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the offering is received. If you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway.
And the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of